So this is the timing of our class. Okay. Now, well, before we start, so apparently the Physics Institute wants lectures to be recorded, so that's why. But they also want to have notes on the website. So I have tried to put my courses on notes. And, well, I have been debating with myself whether I should just simply write the notes and put them on the website, or ask students to write it every week. And so whatever we decide between us, for the first week I wrote the notes as an example. And then we'll see. Okay. So we have 2 more minutes for those who come from the math department. So in particular, those who want to photocopy my notes, you're welcome to do that. So, all right, we start. So, I would like to start with the basic material on the water wave problem. Okay, so this will be our first chapter. I will have to apologize to the physicist, but at least for the math graduate students, I think it's important that I set up the equations, explain where they come from. So here are the contents, so we know where we are. One, I will just introduce the Euler equations for incompressible fluids. And here, for those who don't know anything about that, I would recommend the book, very classical book by Troin and Marsden, which is called, you know, this little yellow book. It's a good introduction, mathematical introduction to fluid mechanics. It is published by Springer. There were several editions. This is the 3rd edition. So one, we introduce the equation. Two, we will restrict ourselves to potential flows. Three, we will write the evolution, so the water wave problem, as a free boundary value problem. Free boundary. So the evolution of the free boundary. Four, we will write down the classical conservation laws and 5. So I hope to do that probably today. We will start with a very simple classical linearization of the water wave problem near the very trivial solution, which is the water at rest, which means that nothing moves. The velocity is zero and the interface is constant. So we'll do this. I hope we'll do this today, these 5 very basic material on water, on fluid mechanics. Right? Oh, so we start with the Euler equation. This is a set of equations that describe the movement of a fluid. So U will be denoting the velocity. So U1, U2, UN. X will be the position, X1, XN. And we will suppose that we have a domain D. So the fluid is contained in that domain D, belongs to R2 or R3. And the Euler equation describes the movement of the fluid inside this body. Right? So this is the velocity. U depends, so it's a three-dimensional vector. It depends on X and T, the velocity. Depends on position and time. We will have to introduce also rho, which is the density of the fluid. And to establish the equation, we will write the one will be the conservation of mass. And the second will be the classical Newton laws, which is the balance of momentum. So conservation of mass, what do we say? We say that if we consider the rate of change of mass in a region W, so what is this quantity? It's the rate of change, so ddt of the mass in the region W, so integration over W of rho of x and t, dv, v is the volume element. So this rate of change is equal, so you have a little element W here of fluid. It is equal to the mass crossing the boundary dW in the inward direction. So mass crossing in the inward direction. How do you write that? Well, inward direction, I put a minus. Integral over the boundary of rho u dot n d sigma. Right? So this is the conservation of mass. Yeah. Okay. And if you just imply, just play the Green's formula in the right hand side, you will obtain d dt. And this is true for all region W. So let me write again W, ddt rho, ddt. Dv equals 0. So this gives us, of course, the first equation. Conservation of mass. You have all seen it before, but rewrite it again. Okay. So this is one conservation of mass. Two is the momentum equation, the Newton's law. So what does the Newton's law tell us? Well, we were going to write that acceleration, the mass multiplied by acceleration, is measured, is compensated by all the forces. Okay, so how do you see that? Imagine a particle of fluid. It has a certain trajectory. The trajectory. Okay. It will start with a velocity. So how do you describe the movement, the evolution of these trajectories? So if x of t is a trajectory of a fluid particle, d dt of x is measured by the velocity. So u of x and t and t. Okay, so again, you have a particle of fluid at a certain time t0. It evolves, and it evolves along this ordinary differential equation. Right? And what is the acceleration? Well, the acceleration, you differentiate this with respect to t, you apply the chain rule, and you will obtain du dt, partial derivative of u respect to t, plus du dxi, dxi dt. Right? Which is du dt plus, so du dxi dt is the velocity. So again, ui di, so sometimes it is written along with this notation. And sometimes we will use the notation d dt with a big T, like this. It is sometimes denoted as a material derivative. So it means that you follow, this is a derivative, that is a derivative of u, but you follow the derivative along the path. So this is maybe the acceleration. All right, so this is probably known for most of you, right? You've seen it. But let's go on. Right. So this is the acceleration. Now let's move to the forces. Well, we will suppose that the fluid is ideal. So what does it mean in particular? It means that if you consider a piece, a little surface of the fluid S, the force exerted on this little piece of surface is measured by P, a certain pressure, a scalar function, multiplied by N. So this is a stress. This is a stress, force of stress, exerted on this little piece of surface. All right. And this will be at time t and point x. All right. Now, if you consider a little element of volume of the domain D with surface, outside surface S, well, all the forces exerted, the total forces exerted on the fluid inside W is measured by, well, S, I don't know why I call it W, equals minus dW. Well, this has this, let's call that dW. Okay. dW p dot n p of xt n. Right, and if you apply the Green's formula again, this gives you gradient p. Gradient p. All right, so this is a force due to the pressure. And finally, you may have also exterior forces in the water wave problem. It would be the gravity, for example. And these exterior forces will be measured by rho, the density B, depending on the problem. Okay, and rho a priori also depends on x. All right. So the final equation becomes the equilibrium between the acceleration and the forces that we write. So here's the acceleration, the udt plus u multiplied by the density per mass equals the total forces minus gradient p plus rho. Right. So this is the Euler equation coupled the mass conservation plus this plus the momentum equation. These are the two basic equations that we will consider. Now, in particular, when the fluid is incompressible, when the fluid is incompressible, we have the conservation of volume, which is translated into divergence u equals zero, which means that the mass density rho satisfies d rho dt. So this means that the density of the flow is constant following the trajectories of the fluid. Okay. Density is constant. Constant doesn't mean that it does not depend on x and t. Constant along the trajectories. Right. So this is the incompressibility. Now, if in addition, the fluid is homogeneous means that rho does not depend on x, does not depend on position, on the position. And thus, it does not depend on x also. So rho becomes constant. Okay, so homogeneous incompressible fluid have constant density. Now, in fluid mechanics, it can happen that the fluid is not homogeneous. For example, if you have stratified flows, in oceanography, this is a classical subject, then the fluid is inhomogeneous. The fluid depends, the density depends on the depth, like in convection. Okay? So in our problems, we will suppose at least where we are, we will suppose the density constant. Right? So, let me conclude this section one by writing our equation. So, Euler equation for incompressible homogeneous fluid, and often rho 0 will be 1, so I will not write it always. This will be our starting point, the Euler equation, plus forces, divergence u equals 0. Now the boundary condition, the boundary condition on dd, on the boundary, will be that the normal component of u is 0, which means that the fluid does not get out of the domain. It may move along the boundary, but just follows the boundary. So it may move along the boundary tangentially to the boundary. It cannot get out of the domain. It is the boundary condition. And one need to also add initial conditions. U of x at t equals 0, given. Now, how many equations do we have? We have four equations. It's three dimensions, four equations, and four unknown. P is unknown. P this force is a constraint that keeps the fluid incompressible. So four equations, four unknown, and P in particular is unknown. Unlike the case in compressible fluid, where you specify the pressure in terms of other quantities like temperature, density, etc. Okay, so here P is unknown. It can be solved, well, as an equation in terms of U by taking the divergence of the first equation. We'll do it later. Okay. So here we are with the Euler equation. We need to finish our first section. We need another observation, which is introduce a very important quantity, which is called the vorticity. So what is the vorticity? It is related to the velocity as the curl u, which in three dimension, in the three-dimensional vector. And so note that in two dimension, omega is, so think of this as d1, d2, 0, cross u1, u2, 0. In two dimensions, the vorticity is a vector that is pointing in the third direction, in the vertical direction. dx1, u2, minus dx2, u1. And often, in the theory of two-dimensional Euler equation, people identify the vorticity to its third component. So consider the vorticity as a scalar vector. But in three dimensions, this is a three-dimensional vector. All right. Now it is important to write down the evolution equation. We will need it later. Evolution equation for the vorticity. So, how do you do that? Well, you have to take, I'm going to write down the statement, but they will check it very easily. So, the evolution equation for omega is d omega dt. So, I'm going to write it in three dimensions. We will make the comment in two dimensions in a minute. So everybody is familiar with this notation, right? This means that take the vector u, component vector, and take the scalar product with dx1, dx2, dx3, and sum over the components, right? So everybody is comfortable with that. So this is the equation for omega. How do you convince yourself that this is correct? So first you make a remark. We're going to take the curl of the Euler equation here. But before we take the curl, we're going to note that if I rewrite the convection term u dot u, the nonlinear term in the Euler equation here, you can convince yourself that it is equal to minus u cross curl u plus minus plus 1/2, just a calculation, that you can express the nonlinear term in terms as like this, which means that the Euler equation, sometimes it is useful to rewrite it as, so I put omega dot cross u. And this is a gradient term, so I'm going to include it in the pressure with plus sign. Yeah. So I'm going to take the evolution is and no force, no exterior force, no external force. I'm not going to put external forces for this equation. All right? So this is sometimes useful. You will see many fluid mechanics books, sometimes useful to rewrite the equation like this. In that case, since P is unknown, you can always redefine the new pressure. All right? And take the curl. Take the curl of this equation. Well, d omega dt plus curl of omega curl u. The curl of the gradient is 0. And now comes a little calculation of vectors. Curl of omega curl u. And for this, there is a nice formula that I'm going to write down here. You may need to use it sometimes. So if you take the curl of the cross product of two vectors, it's f dive g minus g dive f . All right, so you apply this formula above here. When the divergence acts on U, which is zero by definition, by incompressibility, and when divergence acts on curl, it is also zero. So the remaining terms are exactly what is written. Yeah. All right. So this is the checking this evolution equation. Now, a remark. In two dimension, you can still apply this calculation and suppose that U has only two components, last component being zero, and dependence is only on x1, x2. Right? So in this case, omega is a vector pointing to the z direction, and gradient U, for each component U, gradient U is gradient U1, gradient U2, it is directed in the xy plane. So the scalar product is zero. And thus, the evolution equation of omega . So we will not we're not going to use it specifically, but it's a very important remark that this equation tells you that the vorticity in two dimensions is conserved along the path, along the path of the fluid, along the trajectory. We'll not use it because we're not going to study the Euler equation in depth. But for those of you who had the fluid mechanics course, you probably remember that this is one of the most important equation for two-dimensional flow. Right? Now, why did we write this vorticity equation? Because in the continuation of this chapter, we will restrict ourselves to potential flows. Potential flows characterize flows that have zero vorticity. So to justify the assumption that we'll make to consider fluids that have zero vorticity, I would like to look again at this equation and remark with you that it is, suppose that U is known. So suppose you have a situation where the velocity is known. This equation, or the velocity exists, you know that there is a function U that satisfies the Euler equation. The vorticity satisfies a linear equation. Okay, so if U is known, this is linear in omega. If it is linear omega, it means that if initially omega is identically zero, it remains zero all the time that solution exists. Okay, so I'm going to repeat that important remark. I should maybe move that blackboard up. So I will move that up because we're going to use this Euler equation. So if initial condition U0, the initial velocity is such that its vorticity, its curl, is zero, is identically zero for all x, okay, then, well, as long as solution exists, as long as all this has a meaning, the omega of xt, the vorticity at time t position x, is also identically zero. Okay? right? And this will lead us to the second step in this chapter, which is potential flows. So potential flows is a class of flows in fluid mechanics, which is very important, and it refers to flows that are not only incompressible, because we are talking about incompressible flow, but also irrotational. So irrotational means that the rotational is zero. This is negation. Okay. So these are fluids such that all time and all x divergence u equals zero and curl u equals zero. This is the domain. So at the same time, we still have the boundary condition that u, the normal component, is zero. And under these circumstances, if the domain D is simply connected, we will have simple geometries, then there exists a scalar function. So for each x and t, we do that at each point. There exists a scalar function phi. Well, t is like a parameter. I have no t here. Phi, such that the velocity can be identified to the gradient of phi. And this function phi is traditionally called velocity potential. And this is true. So think of u is a function of x, well, and t, but this, you do this for all t. Okay. And this section is very short, but I want to write the evolution equation for phi. Evolution, because it will be useful later for the water wave problem. Evolution of the scalar function phi of x and t. Well, let's go back to this equation here. In the hypothesis that omega is zero, this term disappears. Plus gradient of p plus u square is phi. So you can take the gradient outside. Gradient of d phi dt plus 1/2 here. 1/2. Plus p equals zero. We tell you that the parenthesis here is a function of time only. Is a constant in x. All right, so everybody agrees with this? Move to the water wave problem. Oh, I should not have erased that. All right, everybody's comfortable. This is quite basic analysis of the thrill mechanics. Okay. So what is a water wave problem? It is a situation where you have, again, a body of fluid, but now we have a boundary. The boundary of the problem is unknown. The boundary of the fluid is unknown. So let me repeat the hypothesis. So we will have a fluid which is... We will have a potential... The hypothesis is that we have a potential flow. So that we will deal with a fluid which is incompressible and irrotational. This is very important hypothesis. And the geometry is like this. You have a bottom. This is a bottom in three dimensions. And the fluid occupies a certain region where the bottom is fixed and the top is changing, unknown. It's a free boundary. Typical situation is ocean situation when you have a bottom that is fixed. Sometimes it's flat, sometimes it's not flat, sometimes it's almost infinite. But you have a separation between the air and the water. Okay, and we will suppose this water is modeled by the Euler equation for potential flows. And what are the forces? So that we have a potential flow. What are the only forces that we will consider are the gravity force, which is directed. So this is the surface of the water, and the gravity force is directed like this. So we're going to write the equations. So let me go back to the Euler equation. So we're going to write the Euler equation, and in a minute we will simplify with the hypothesis that it is incompressible. P. So it's minus G, let me call that E3. This is the gravity force. G is a constant. So this is the equation in the domain D of T. Now the domain is changing. And since I don't have space here, I'm going to write what is D of T. Well, D of T will be a certain surface that will be given by a certain equation that is unknown at this point. And very soon, we will restrict our attention when this surface is a graph, so we'll be able to write it. We will suppose that it is infinite in the xy direction. Infinite. Oops, I'm sorry. This is not the domain. This is the surface. So let me write it again. This is the surface, not the domain. So the domain, it will be x, y, z, such that x, y belongs to R2, And Z, we're going to put the graph immediately. Z is between a flat bottom and an unknown surface. Okay, everybody's comfortable with that? A flat bottom fixed. In this particular, I'm going to restrict myself where the bottom is Z equals minus H. And the surface here is, this free boundary is Z equal eta of x, y, and t. So inside this domain, we have the Euler equation. We have that it is divergence free, that the curl is zero, that it is irrotational, all that in the domain. On the bottom, at Z equal minus H, we will write the usual usual boundary condition for Euler, that U dot N is equal to zero. H. All right. So this is a problem. Now we have to write what are the conditions on the top boundary. And all the difficulty comes now with the movement of this resource evolution. So before I go to the evolution of the free surface, a very simple remark is that inside, that since the flow is potential, well, the phi, the velocity potential, satisfies inside the domain d of t. What does it satisfy? Well, you know that U is a gradient of phi. Thus, if I take the curl, it gives me Laplacian phi equals 0. So let me move that in a minute. Talk to that about this in a minute. Finish with phi. So phi, velocity potential, is a harmonic function in, okay, so Laplacian phi equals 0 in D. And what is the boundary condition for phi on the bottom, the easy boundary? The easy boundary is that U dot N, so gradient phi dot N equals 0, which means D phi dN equals 0. These are the two easy equations. And now, the more complex one is the evolution of the interface. There's something that is hard here. So the evolution of the interface between water and air, because it's the most complicated part, and it's also the most interesting because people want to know what happens exactly at the surface. So the evolution of the interface will be determined by two conditions. One condition is called the kinematic condition. We'll explain in a minute. It tells us essentially that this interface is indeed the boundary between the water and the air. The water doesn't go further than this interface. In other words, the velocity of the fluid at the point of the interface is equal to the velocity of the interface, normal components. So we'll do that in a minute. The second condition is called dynamic. Dynamic because we will say that up to the boundary, the flow satisfies the Euler equation. So we'll rewrite the Euler equation, which is this one or the other one for the potential flow. Yeah, the one up there, the potential up to the boundary. And it's dynamic because it's an evolution. Right? So this will be the two conditions. So one. So we have the surface of the fluid. I do it as a curve, but it's a surface. It's a curve in two dimensions, a surface in three dimensions. You have the normal vector n. So what is a normal vector to the surface? It is surface is given. Let me rewrite again. The interface is given by the equation z equal eta of x y t. So the normal vector, unit vector, is n, what is it, minus eta x minus eta y, 1. It's a normal vector. And what we divided by its length. And what we're going to write is that the normal component of the velocity of the fluid on the surface is equal to the normal component of the velocity of the interface. So this is, remind you, u is the same u, velocity of fluid. And we have to write this at z equal eta of x, y, t. This is the velocity of the fluid at the surface, and this is the velocity of the interface. Alright, so let's continue here. U, velocity of the fluid, well, d phi dx, d phi dy, d phi dz. This is u. Right? And v is what? Well, v is the velocity of the interface given by x equals x, y equals y, and z equals eta. So it's differentiated with respect to t, 0, eta t. And now I write u dot n equals v dot n. So v dot n eta t equals, so minus, plus eta x d phi dx plus eta y d phi dy. I'm sorry, I'm not consistent with notation. Sometimes I indexes and sometimes d phi. It's just the same. maybe for this equation I should write it in a consistent way, eta x phi x plus eta y phi y minus phi z equals 0. Okay, we have written this kinematic condition. Okay. The other equation, 2, which is the dynamic, we're going to write the Euler equation up to the boundary, up to the interface. What is the Euler equation? It is here. It is hidden. Well, it is here, but here, I'm sorry, I have not yet written the gravity force. So I have to. This was before we introduced the water wave. So I'm going to rewrite. I'm going to go back here and write. So let's go back here. Okay. So d dt. So forget what I said here. Let's go back here and replace u by gradient phi and. Plus, so u dot u is what? It's du d phi dx I d dx I u d phi dx j. Right? This is component j. This is component j, which I can rewrite d dj, d dxj, 1/2, gradient. Right, so here I'm component j, I write plus 1/2 of gradient. Okay, everybody agrees with that? Plus, so let me continue to write that. Minus gradient P plus, and I like to write the force as a gradient because later I will just drop the gradient. So I can write this in minus G. What? Well, 1, 0, 0, 1 is the gradient of V. Okay? So this is the Euler equation inside the domain. Can I erase this? And now I'm going to, so let's take out the gradient. First take out the gradient and then write it up to the boundary. Plus P minus GZ. Okay? This is the Euler equation. Now integrate. Integrate over the domain. So we get d phi dt plus 1/2 equals the constant. Constant in time. Constant in x. Yes? Sorry? Well, I'm saying that this quantity must be constant if the gradient is zero inside the domain. I'm going to put it up to the up to the boundary. So I'm going to integrate up to the boundary. So I'm going to write this as constant in space. I'm going to write this exactly on the boundary. So dp dt plus 1/2 p on the boundary minus g eta equals constant. And this constant I will drop. And second, I will write that the boundary condition for the pressure is that the pressure at the interface here is the atmospheric pressure. It's a constant. So the pressure at the boundary is constant. The pressure cannot push. The pressure of the air cannot push the water towards the bottom. So the pressure is constant, and you can always count the pressure into this constant. You can drop it too. So. Did I make a mistake? The gradient. It's a constant in space, and it's a constant in space, and so it's a function of t. But if you, well, I forgot to say one, if you restrict yourself to solutions that are zero at infinity when x and y are zero, then you drop it. Or you can say it here. You can drop it once if you suppose that all your functions eta, u, tend to zero as x, y go to infinity. Will drop the constant. You should keep it here. You should keep it here and then drop it at the next line. Constant in C. Yes? Exactly. It's a kinetic. It's an additional condition that is imposed on your interface. All right. So everybody agrees here. I missed one step. First, you integrate. You have a constant depends on t. Then you apply it on the boundary. You write it on the boundary, and you drop all your constant by assuming that your functions tend to zero at infinity.
When can we drop boundary pressure?
Because you want everything to go to zero when xy goes to zero, when xy to the infinity. So you can always... put this pressure inside and drop it. Just a constant. Or if you integrate, you can integrate p minus p0 if you want. All right. So we have... Yes? Sorry.
When the grad p came over to the left-hand side, was the minus grad p plus g? When the minus g grad z...
Yes, you are right. Yes, sorry. You have to write the right constant, the right... Thank you. Thank you. So, we're going to finish this section by writing this set of equations that describe the evolution of the water wave problem. So you have Laplacian phi equals 0 in d of t, which is x, y, z, x, y, this is a domain. We have d phi dn equals 0 at z equals minus h. We have eta t plus cx eta x plus phi y eta y minus phi z equals 0, and phi t so these two equations are to be restricted on at z equal eta of x, y. Okay? So these are the set of equations for the three-dimensional water wave problem. The unknowns are the velocity potential, which is determined up to a constant, because it's the gradient that is important, velocity potential, and the interface eta is also unknown. So the velocity potential is unknown inside the domain and up to the boundary. But if you know the boundary, it's not difficult to solve for phi. Phi is a harmonic function with a Neumann boundary condition on the bottom. And on the top, well, it's unknown. And eta is the interface. Okay? Yes? You have written the Euler equation at the boundary.
Right.
This is where you have...
Right, but originally we needed the Euler equation because we solved the whole domain. Right?
Yes.
And now we don't.
Because you have to solve the Laplace equation now. You have replaced it by the Laplace equation.
Okay.
You're asking whether it's completely equivalent? Oh, what did it tell you then? Yes, but we don't write it. We don't write it inside. We just write it up to the bottom. Okay. So this is the problem. Okay. And this will be our starting point to do the asymptotic limits that we plan to do, like shallow water, boostiness, KDV, etc. Right? So we have to... Do you want to break or you don't want to break? So let's go on. Let's go on with the conservation. No, it's easy, so we'll do the conservation. So if you want to deal with the problem in two dimensions, Well, you just erase the y dependency, so you're left with this. And the surface, the surface, which is the interface between water and air, is reduced to a curve. Conservation laws. Oh, we did three already. This was three. This was the three. We did three. Okay, so four is conservation laws. So the conservation law will be the usual conservation law for Euler equation. One is the volume. Conservation of volume of the body, the fluid. Two will be the conservation of energy. Three, conservation of momentum. So the volume, how do you express the volume? Yes, yes, I'm going to do that for the waterway. Well, I could do it on the earlier, but I'll do it on the waterway. I would like to do that from this system here. So what is the volume V of T? Well, it is expressed. You integrate the body of fluid, which is eta, over the domain. This is the volume, dx. And you want to check that dv dt. So we'll do the first equation. We'll do the first one. And the two others you will do in problems. Okay? Just want to check that dv dt equals 0. Well, how do you do that? Is what you want to put. You start with the original equation, with the Laplace equation, but you integrate over the domain. Okay, so this is easy. You apply Green's formula, you get d phi dn on the boundary. The boundary has two parts. On the bottom, it is 0. So what remains is on the top. And then, so this is phi x. Normal vector we have calculated before. It is there. Eta x. Plus pz divided by its norm, but this element will be compensated by d sigma, so I don't write dx dt dy. So this is on R2. This is on the top boundary. Now on this interface, from the first equation giving the kinematic condition, you get that this expression here, which is the normal derivative, is exactly eta t. So this is exactly integral of R2 eta t dx dy, which is d dt integral . All right, so the volume. So this is 0. Remember, this was 0. So it gives you that V prime is 0. V is constant. Okay? It's an easy calculation. Now, the energy. So what is the energy? E, it will be the sum of kinematic energy and potential energy. Kinematic is integral over the domain of the velocity square. So velocity is greater than phi square. And the kinematic and the potential energy is the integral over the z component of the force, so g eta. So 1/2 of g integral over x eta square, so x y dx dy. And the only thing you have to do is to play with Green's identity and calculate ddt, and don't forget that when you differentiate, you have to differentiate the volume too. See? Eta squared, because you integrate z. You integrate z from 0 to eta, from minus h to eta. Okay? So I leave it to you. You have to find that ddt equals 0. And finally, the momentum. That I would like to leave it to you too. It's eta d phi dx. Dx dy integral, this is also a constant in time. You integrate over R2. Do you integrate over R2? Yes. So this means the first component of the velocity, d phi dx, taken at the surface. Okay. The restriction of the U1 at the surface. Here, you have to think of this as dc dx taken at x, y, z equal eta. And again, these two quantities are constant. To prove this and that, you have only to play with the water wave equation. You can also do that from the earlier equation, but it's a nice exercise, especially for the energy. You can do it from the Euler equation, of course. But it's nice to play around with this equation, which are not at all trivial on the boundary. Okay? Yeah. It is the I think it is derivative with respect to x. You will. No, this is is a function of t only, right? Because you integrate over the domain. So it's ddt. It's not material derivative. It's ddt, just the regular derivative. Okay? So we're going to stop here. We have done the really basic material and fluid mechanics. And the next tomorrow we'll do the linearization, and we will start to work on this asymptotic limit.